I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it over and over again, podcasting is so special. And the reason why I think podcasting is so special is because there's so much more collaboration than competition in this space. And today's interview is the perfect example of that because I had a chance to sit down with Veronica and Steve from over at Pod Sound School, and we just had a blast. I mean, I'm not going to spoil all the things that we talked about, but it was just so refreshing to have a really genuine conversation with people who do very similar things to what I do. And I felt nothing but invigoration and energized. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that I've met other people in the world that love to help other podcasters, other content creators, and they just have such a big heart to help other people share their message. So like I said, I'm not going to give you any spoilers here. I cannot wait for you to enjoy this conversation with Veronica and Steve from Pod Sound School. Welcome to the Profit Podcast, where we teach entrepreneurs how to start, launch, and market their podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Profit, and I'm so excited that you're here. Thanks for hanging out with me today, because if you've been trying to figure out the world of podcasting, think of this show as the time-saving shortcut you've been looking for. So let's get right to it, shall we? All right, Profit Podcast listeners, I have some extra special guests for you today. I am speaking to the people over at Pod Sound School, and I am so honored to have Veronica and Steve here with me today. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for
having us. Hello, everybody.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
We're excited to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. I don't often do a lot of interviews where it's three people, so but I do like it. I do like that we have two women and a guy here, and everybody's used to hearing my voice, so they'll at least know. I've done a few interviews where it was me and two other guys, and they're like, wait, I don't... who's talking, who's who. So this will be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. But
so that means that Steven is not going to be talking a lot.
Uh-huh. Right, exactly. We're going to be telling all the
stories. We'll take over the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get into podcasting and doing all the amazing things that y'all are doing today?
I'll let you take that. No, you go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it's been, I think the reason why we started the Pod Sound School and the whole reason we are where we are is because I wanted a creative outlet. I wanted a creative project. I felt like Steven had that creative part figured out, and he's been in the music production and audio production and movies, and he's been very creative his whole life, you know, even when he was a kid. But me, I decided to go the attorney route and going to law school and graduate and have good grades and be in the corporate world. And I felt unfulfilled. I felt that wasn't my path. I would come home and he would be just happy creating and doing his things. And I'm like, oh, I want to be part of that. So I finally got so fed up with my job that one day he proposed to me to just started this company. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We started the Pod Sound School. And at that point, he had created a couple of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I said to him, okay, I am not going to be behind the microphone. I'm just going to be the CEO, and I'm just going to, you know, have all the administrative and financial things in check. And then one day, he was very sneaky. He's like, just come here and say this. Uh-huh. And so little by little, I'm like, no, because I was terrified of the microphone. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be in front of the camera or I'm going to record a podcast with you.
Yeah.
He's like, well, what about if you write a script? I'm like, yeah, I can do that because I'm a very good writer. So I'm going to write a script and read it. And the first times they were absolutely terrible.
It was just the debacles were just insane. Oh, just... But luckily, she was brave enough to start this crazy venture with me. We were listening at the time to "Don't Keep Your Day Job," the podcast,
Kathy Heller,
and so that luckily Veronica had her head full of that podcast, so she was ready to. And she's always been a crazy podcast listener.
Yeah. I love podcasts, and I think that she's just so great to show you what the possibilities are when you just tap into your creativity and into your purpose, and you connect with that in your life, and then that you can have fulfillment by doing what you love doing.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted in my life. And Steven was, you know, he wanted that too.
Yeah. And it's funny when Veronica was talking and just about her experience and the whole debacle of getting her in front of the microphones.
We have stories.
Yeah. And also she just, you know, has the English being her second language, everything else. You would think this confident lawyer type would be but no, it was very interesting. We used to have to play music in the background for her when she was recording podcast episodes and like just anything to get her into the vibe. And now she just takes it and rolls with it.
Yeah, I think you just have to come to the realization that you have to let go. Like, it doesn't matter how it comes out of your mouth. Well, unless it's something terrible and you are insulting people, then that way you need to like right away just set the record straight that's not what you meant. But you just have to let it go. And like, people will find that genuine and will find that endearing, that despite your accent, despite that you don't have, you know, everything figured out, you're really trying to put yourself out there and to connect with other people that are just as terrified as you are.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really cool stuff, because that's actually showing up and being your authentic self and being, we say transparency is trending.
Yeah.
So just like being who you are and whoever that is, and actually allowing the unique parts of yourself to shine. You know, being really wearing those as badges, like your accent or your weirdness or your obsessions or whatever, or your crazy laugh that will blow out microphones. Veronica. you know, that's the kind of stuff that people really resonate with. And, you know, now fast forward a few years later, when of us just getting started on a whim, you know, I think Veronica has touched a lot of people and she's inspired a lot of people to get out of their comfort zones because she was brave enough to do that. So that's pretty cool.
I think that's our role as a podcast coach is really.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love how y'all are just like pitching and catching the compliments. Like, this is a fantastic team. This is so awesome. I love seeing that. So when did y'all start Pod Sound School? What year was that?
It was 2018.
Yeah, actually. 2018.
So we're still very new, just going on 3 years now. And yeah, we just, like Veronica said, we had a couple podcasts that I had produced, and I had been in music production and everything else for a long time. So it was actually an episode of, I remember from that podcast, Don't Keep Your Day Job. And it was the Grammar Girl. I can't remember her name, but she was just talking about why she started the Grammar Girl and how she had all this expertise in grammar that she could share with people. And I was thinking, like, man, I listen to all these podcasts, and we've been listening to hundreds of podcasts because we were doing relentless rate review swaps with podcasters on a previous podcast we had. And they all just sounded really bad, you know, and they were great podcasts and great content, great personalities, great ideas, but the audio production was pretty lousy. And I thought, well, that's something we can share. That's something that I would love to share with the community. And so that's kind of how it got started, was let's teach podcasters how to get better audio quality. And then we got taken into a lot of different directions. And now we teach people how to get on YouTube, and we teach people branding and storytelling and all the other stuff that goes into not just podcasting, but content creation and how your podcast winds up just being one of the
many things,
one of the many things under the umbrella of the brand that you're creating.
Yes. Yeah. This is really where, you know, whenever it comes to y'all's content, I was first introduced to everything that you do on YouTube because I had mm-hmm. seen, because I started around the same time that y'all did. And I started really just kind of playing around with YouTube because I had no idea what I was doing. And mm-hmm. I could definitely, like, maybe I'll ask you some questions about y'all's YouTube strategy because y'all have done amazing things over there. But I really was in the same kind of position as y'all of like, let's like start putting stuff out there. Let's see what works and let's see what people respond to. And I'm just so blown away by, you know, I started in 2018 as well. So I feel like this baby, right? I feel like a baby in this space, but also we've been around so much longer than people that are even listening to this show or possibly watching us been there. Just they're looking to us as like, we need your help. We need your input in our own journey. And I just think that it's so fascinating how quickly technology moves and how everything in the podcast space is changing. So I want to know, what's the thing about podcasting? Like, is it the people? Is it the message? Is it the connection? Is it the equipment? Like, what is the thing that you're just like, oh my gosh, I just love it so much and I want to help other people with it?
Oh, for me, the biggest thing is the, and I'll go first on this, I guess, is that I think it's the perfect stepping stone into stepping into your greatness. As kind of for me, what I've seen, like, and we've worked with clients too and helped them start their own podcast. It's amazing to watch people's transformation of getting confident, but then also getting a clear understanding about what they're meant to do or what their purpose is or like why they're even wanting to create content in the first place. I think that a podcast more than anything helps you to figure all that out. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the long form content, maybe it's just the looseness of talking, mm-hmm. Interviewing and or even if it's not an interview podcast, like putting scripts together, it's just really magic that way. It's the changes that happen on behind the scenes with people that is what gets me going so much on it.
Yeah, for me, I've been a podcast junkie for many years. I think it's the connection that you develop with your audience and the connection that you develop with people in your industry that really gets me emotional and really just makes me recommend podcasting to anybody. And it's because when you put somebody behind the microphone and they just let go of any expectations or any, you know, insecurities, or if you're nervous, after a while you just relax and then you just get into the zone when you bare your soul, your show yourself, your ideas, your dreams, your stories. And I think, in my opinion, it's the best way, even better than social media, than video, to get somebody in their realness. And for example, we were helping one of our neighbors in Utah to have a podcast for only their family. They wanted to memorialize stories of grandma and grandpa and people who were like getting old and they're losing, you know, their memories and all that. So memorialized all that. I just think that's beautiful how you can record audio, record stories, and just cause that connection and emotional reaction, and it, you know, save those stories for future generations. I just think that, I mean, how many there? I can't even tell you how many times a podcast has made me laugh. A podcast has inspired me to, mm-hmm. and it inspired me to quit my job. How many times I have learned about things from a podcast, mm-hmm. how many times I have laughed, you know?
Now, there's also a lot of issues that listening to podcasts has caused Veronica, too, because she's a big true crime fan.
Yes, and so yes. It's my guilty
she's
pleasure.
She's really paranoid all the time. Like the other day I had a shoe and I was just looking, it was my exercise bike shoe and I needed to tighten the screw on it And I came in the room with the shoe, and I guess I was going to murder her with the shoe. You know, I'm like, you've got to stop listening to these true crime podcasts.
Yes. And I'm a crime junkie fan. Mm-hmm, crime junkie. And last night we had to sleep with the windows open because the smell of paint is, by the way, we are remodeling our home and our studio, and there's paint all over and just a whole source of mess. We can't even find our equipment. We're lucky we're here. Yeah. And we left the windows open, and I'm like, well, do you think that somebody's going to, you know, get inside the house through those windows and murder us? Like, I remember this case that the entire family got murdered because they left a window open. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, I can. But I listen to that podcast religiously. I'm obsessed with true crime.
She listens to it with her 12-year-olds, and they also
now say that on the record.
Yeah, yeah, it's bad. Everybody thinks I'm gonna, and it's me. I'm the one who's gonna kill everyone.
It's always the husband, right?
It's Crystal? Always the husband.
Anyway, I'm dying. Yeah, no, that's so funny because my husband, he loves Dateline and like the 48 hours. Like, he doesn't listen to a ton of podcasts, but he watches all these shows. And I'm like, I can't do it. He used to travel a lot for work, and we have three boys. And it's like, he would leave and he's like, all right, I'll be back. And then I would be like, you're leaving me here with these three kids and all these crazy stories are in my head. Like, he just tells me about, like, this is like secondhand stories that he tells me. I don't even watch them, and I'm freaked out enough. So I'm like, no, I don't need those. I'm not a true crime. I freak myself out enough. I'm that person to this day. We have our boys' bathroom. They have a shower curtain, the old school shower curtain. Anytime I go in there, I swear I'm always like, okay, we're good. And one day the cat was in there and he jumped and I jumped and it was just a bad thing. So no true crime for me. Not that it's not my jam.
Yeah. Steven is the same. He doesn't like true crime, but I'm like, listen, so I have stories, you know, for you. Uh-huh. He's like, no, please.
So I guess like anything else, you can take something and, you know, you can get what you want out of it. But so I guess to sum up both of our answers, it's just the freedom of the freedom and the authenticity, I think.
And also I feel like, you know, TikTok and Instagram and social media is just scrolling, fast pace. And podcast is just such a fresh air. You know, it's just so, you just tune into your podcast and you forget about the rest, and you can spend 45 minutes listening to somebody. I mean, if you're not into podcasting, you should consider
really
that.
Really consider getting into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it. I love the ripple effect of podcasting too. It's like, you know, you could share a story. Well, just like what we were doing, it's like, you know, Veronica hears something, she shares it with Steve, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he knows about that podcast or he knows about that story. So it's like not just about the person directly listening to the host of the show. It's about the people that you're going to tell or you're going to share. So I see it having an even bigger impact. And I'm just curious, do you have any like students or members of your community that have had like this awesome win or like a fantastic moment that you're just like, this is why I do what I do? Do y'all have any specific examples of that?
You can go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So recently one of our clients, Erin, and she's the host of your Sacha Catch podcast. She was featured in the podcast magazine.
Awesome.
And we were like, oh, we couldn't believe it.
It was so cool. Yeah.
And not only, well, that was a good thing, but it's just to see her, how she has taken her podcast and she's building a whole brand around her podcast, and is just the coolest thing what she's doing within just a couple of years. Because, it's insane.
Yeah, when we first started with her, you know, very timid behind the microphone, and you can go listen to her old episodes and just kind of unsure of what her podcast was about or unsure about any of that stuff. And now she's just confident. She's not working her corporate job anymore. She's building a brand that she's doing her podcast full time. Mm-hmm. Also, her podcast was about dating and in your late 30s in LA. And she was all just telling her crazy dating stories, trying to find true love. Well, she found true love through the podcast, which is crazy. Like, that's actually how she met the guy. Was he became, he knew her,
he
before
was a listener.
She knew him because he was a listener of her podcast. And so now she found true love. She's like manifested everything she wants in life. She's in the podcast magazine. Just like, wow, this is unbelievable. So that's probably our biggest. Our biggest like success story. The other one for me that I think about is a friend, a colleague, and a student too. Eric Hunley with his YouTube channel is really crazy too. With after we were helping him with that, because he was he has a podcast called The Unstructured Podcast, where he interviews people relentlessly. And like 1 year, he had like 100 episodes in a year or something, and just one of the hardest working podcasters. But his downloads were never exceeding a certain amount, and he was just kind of in this plateau after a while. And then he got himself onto YouTube, and he started going live on YouTube, and now he's like, he's got 30,000 subscribers 30, 000, or something
yeah,
like
close,
that.
Yeah,
something just around. Not that the numbers are what matters, but he's like actually generating profit now. And he's, you know, he's really found a place and a calling and an audience and a community. And it's just so cool to see that.
And
because,
he's having fun.
Yeah. And he's having fun, and he's all, he's lit up in what it is that he's doing. It's just so cool. There's a tipping point, you know, and I think that's what it's about, is just the consistency and the open-minded. If we're open-minded, and if we are like willing to adapt and change and face our insecurities and things like that, and we stay consistent, then we actually see like a lot of really amazing things happen in the world of social media and the website or the interwebs, you know?
Well, I love that. I want to go back to what you were saying about having fun, because I've watched so many of y'all's videos and y'all crack me up. I love the different personalities. I love the different, like, oh, you know, like this person thinks this. Well, what about this? Like, I love it so much. So I want to know, in y'all's content creation journey, did you have this idea of what you wanted your YouTube or your podcast, like anything that you're creating, what you wanted it to be, and that's what you're creating? Or has it been kind of an evolution over time? Like, well, we tried this, but now we want to do this. Like, what does that journey look like for y'all?
It's been an evolution. It's been, it's just so funny because, you know, it seems like from the outside, we know what we're doing, but we don't.
We don't. We have no idea.
We're just constantly experimenting and like pushing the boundaries a little bit with our videos. I think that we're still, as a company and as the channel, we're still trying to figure things out, to find the balance between providing value, but also being creative and just like honor who we are as creators and what we bring to the table. But it's been an evolution. I remember one of the first few videos Steven made me do. It was me talking about I don't like audio production. I like writing and content strategy and all that. That's kind of like my in social media. But he is the audio engineer, and then he made me stand in front of the camera and read a script about signal flow.
Which, and in hindsight too, that was something that's changed. Is it's kind of like I wanted people to be passionate about the things that I'm passionate about, but I think that's something that is a journey that a few of our clients have gone through as well too, which is we start by creating about ourselves. It's all about us. It's all about like a very internal, very self-centered. And then it becomes more about your community, and it becomes more about what people need and how you can
what
help
they want.
People and what they want. And that comes from like market research. I remember a big moment when things changed for us pretty early on was Veronica also really, and I love her too, but Veronica really loves this influencer, Vanessa Lau. She has a YouTube channel. Yeah. And
I love
Vanessa.
Yeah. And so we actually were students of her Instagram course, and kind of took her course together, but she really got us into this idea of like, who is your ideal listener? Who is your, you know, she was the one who kind of pushed us into that, marketing world of, and we've since really, really gotten into that a lot is like, who is it that we're making our content for? And I think that's really when things changed. And so now we've taken a step back, and if I am going to talk about signal flow, which is pretty important and I think very fascinating, it's got to be spun in a way that our audience is going to actually find it useful.
And I think it's been what's been very beneficial that we are very different people, that he is trained in the technical side of things and audio production, is that when he comes to me with a certain idea, it's like, okay, tell me what it's good for. Don't tell me, okay, signal flow and all that. Okay, tell me what, why I need to understand that in order for me to record my podcast.
And then I'm like, oh, well, actually you don't. So yeah, we won't make that video.
I'm not interested in that. You know? Just tell me when where to plug things at and all that.
So. She needs to know. She calls it a thingy-majingy.
A thingy-majingy.
She wants to, where do I put the thingy-majingy and give me the, you know?
No, but I feel like over the years, I have learned a lot about equipment.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But yeah, so me, you know, like, dumb me that I didn't know anything about signal flow. I made that video, and you should go see it on our YouTube channel. It's pretty hilarious because I'm reading a script. My eyes are going from one end to the other.
Yeah, and there's a green screen. And
the animations are kind of cool, but I'm like talking about something I had no idea about.
But the other thing that I guess is the real takeaway to answer your question, because it's a very long-winded answer, is it's about the audience. And when we shifted from from being self-centered to being audience-centered, the, like, because I'm an audio engineer and, you know, the signal flow thing, and I'm very uptight about certain things, that the idea of podcasting on a phone or using a phone to podcast was one that you could have never talked me into. I would have been very like, oh, I'm too good for that. Like, I would never would have. And in all of our market research and keyword research and looking, it's like so many people are searching for that. Like, everybody's wondering, can I start a podcast on my phone? So when I put my own, you know, thoughts aside of that and really just got into, okay, well, how can you start a podcast on your phone? And that we put together a video teaching people how to do that using the Anchor app. And that's actually what has blown up our YouTube channel, is that one video. And so it's like just give people what they want. And it's about service more than it is about, I don't know,
about
fulfillment
you.
Or so, yeah, or self-fulfillment or fame, or I don't know what it is. Cause that's definitely not why we got into it. I think we really wanted to just help people
Get
better
people.
At their content. Yeah.
Well, we're going to put the signal flow video in the show notes for this podcast.
Oh, no.
Now I'm like, it's one video. I'm like, I haven't seen this, so I have to go watch this video. We're going to link to it for sure.
Well, there's another one that you should watch too.
Oh, no.
What is it?
Not the
Which one? We got to know.
Is it the Apple one?
Yeah, the Apple.
I think I was mad that day. I don't know what was going on.
What was it?
It was the how to submit your podcast to Apple.
Oh, yeah. How to submit your podcast. There is an impersonation there that people should go watch.
Oh, no. But they're actually hidden in a lot of our videos. Like, Veronica will like burp during it, and I'll like sneak that in there. Or
I would have fits.
Yeah. Or we have like arguments or fits. So we like to sneak those in there just because. Yeah, it's fun. And that's the other thing. I think that above everything, I think it should be fun.
Yes.
That's our first in our, you know, every business should have like a 5 points of your now I've got a loss of words, but our very first point in all of our bullet points, our mission statement or whatever is, are we having fun? You know, we stop a lot and ask that. Are we having fun? Well, maybe we should like take a break and do something
else and different.
Come back.
And sometimes when we go with our gut with something that we feel super creative about and are having fun, those are the videos that perform the most.
Yeah.
The best.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. And I think that's why I was drawn to all y'all's content, because that's the same thing for me. It's like, I love to have fun. I like to be a little silly, a little quirky.
I know.
Put it out there, because this is who I am, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's so hard for me to try to pretend to be something that I'm not. So I'm going to share about the ridiculous things that I do when I'm recording, or the fact, y'all, my cat, like, we're literally recording and I forgot, I shut the doors to my office and the cat is in the office with me. And he was like, look, I was like, he's going to jump on the shelf. When you were talking a second ago, I was like, he's going to knock something off. Now he's just sitting on my desk. And I'm like, really? Like, I want to push him off and just be like, get it. But then he's going to be stuck in here with me and he's going to be mad. So I'm just going to leave him there. But these are the things that I think people really relate to, is when you are yourself. I think that you can tell when people try to do silly things and you're like, that's not really this person's personality. They're putting on a show and it feels weird and maybe a little cringy. But with y'all, like, it's so entertaining and it's so natural. And I think that's what people are drawn to, because you're having fun and it's very apparent. And I love this. I think it's fantastic. But I want to talk to y'all about being a team, because for me in my journey, I have been, you know, I've had project managers, I've had virtual assistants, and I've had people behind the scenes helping me with a lot of pieces of my business. But when it comes to my content, it's usually myself doing solo episodes, solo YouTubes, unless I'm doing a live stream or an interview with someone. So I don't have the experience of working with a co-host. So can you share any thoughts, like maybe a high and a low that y'all have had on this journey working together as a team?
That's crazy. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's been so great to be able to work with Steven, because he's so creative. He's a very creative person, and he, whatever I bring to the table, he's like, yeah, let's do it. And he finds the way to materialize my ideas. And I feel like we communicate pretty well. We know how to, like, just get on the same page with certain things. With that being said, it doesn't mean that we don't struggle sometimes, and that we don't have disagreements, or that we just like, I can't work with you today, because that, you know, it's how it is. It's difficult to have a co-host. It's difficult to work with your significant other. It's not always, I'm so bad
at expressions.
Idiomatic expressions.
Yeah. Like, it's not always hunky dory.
It's not always, you know, kisses and hugs and we're all happy here. Uh-huh. No, we had our disagreements, and it's because we both have very strong personalities, and we know what we want. And then when the other person is not getting it, we just get into this back and forth. And then sometimes we have to take some time apart and then just breathe. And he's very good at what he does, and I'm very good at what I do. But it's just it's been a matter of finding that, okay, we need to drop this here because we're not going to places. We just like have to separate, and then we reconvene.
Yeah, reconvene. Yeah. And that's also been part of the journey too. That's been really valuable is the personal growth that happens through all this stuff. And, you know, because when I get into like setting up the gear and setting up the cameras and setting up the microphones and the cables and all that stuff mode, I kind of get into a little bit of like a
psycho.
Yeah. Or I mean, I wasn't going to say psycho. I was going to say
it. No, you do.
She was real quick with that word. Yeah, she knew exactly what.
And actually, yeah, I like start making boop, making noises and
making
stuff.
Making all sorts of.
So now we've had a talk. I can't say boop anymore, because if I go boop, then it's like PTSD. So, so there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And we're lucky in that sense, because I don't think I could work with anybody besides Veronica. Our personalities mix really well to collaborate. So if you play well with others, and if you collaborate and you can communicate really well. But I also think that co-host relationships sometimes cause a lot of problems too.
They do,
and,
yeah.
Especially if there's like passive aggressive things going on. And a lot of times with podcasters and people, there will be one host that kind of just does everything and the other one just kind of shows up and unprepared. And so it's, you really do have to have the uncomfortable conversations and make sure that you're not only that you're being heard, but that you're also open-minded to,
to adjust. So what I tell my clients is that if you're going to work with a co-host, you need to take this relationship as if you are creating a business together. I put things in writing as much as you can, divide roles, that's super important, who's responsible for what and when, and have established schedules and things. The more clear you have the roles that each person will play in the relationship, the better. So I think that would be one my advice, because you know, you want your podcast to be this place of creativity. And when all the administrative planning thing is taken care of and you just show up and you do your work, then it's not about you and your, you know, and your drama that you have going on. It's like, it's about your audience. It's about the content that you're creating. And I think that's what is helping us a little bit, is that we get to a point, okay, we just have to let go. This isn't about us anymore. This is about our community, our audience. And we just have to let our egos aside and come to an agreement. And then you're going to start stop beeping.
Yeah. You're going to stop booping.
booping. And I'm going to let you talk, because I interrupt him all the time. I don't let him talk. So, because my ideas are better.
But I'm, well, they are. It's true. I just push the buttons, you know, but, and I like to make sound effects when I push buttons, like,
you push my buttons.
I push your buttons. But I'm very interested to hear just a little bit about your experience with virtual assistants and online people as far as on your team, because that's something that we've definitely struggled with.
Yes, we have some troubles finding the right people.
So I guess, and it comes down to communication, but so when you say that you've worked with people, what's some of your experience? I'd be really interested to know how you deal with those kind of struggles.
Yeah. What would be your suggestion for somebody who is looking to
find somebody
with, for social media or
a virtual assistant,
because
that's something.
For sure. So I have used, I've had a project manager who I worked with for about 6 months really closely in, I'll just be really honest. If you've watched Friends and you're a friend, you're like a Friends fanatic, and people on the show know this, my business was like Monica's closet. Everything looks so beautiful, organized, like on the outside, but there was this one corner.
Yeah.
It's like, don't open it. You don't want to see what's in there. And that was like my Google Drive, all my files, like Canva, like everywhere where I had all these really important assets of my business. They look great when they're out on social media, but behind the scenes, it was a hot mess. And so I had her come in and really help me put in like systems and processes and workflows. And that has actually set me up to have more of a well-oiled machine that didn't have a lot of friction. So for anybody that's listening, you know, and especially for y'all, if you're thinking like, I want someone to help me in my business, you have to ask yourself like, and it, a lot of it just comes down to asking those hard questions that we've been ignoring. Like we've been in denial. We're like, no, it's fine. It works. Like the process isn't great, but it works. If you've been saying that, you need to let's sit down and actually look at it, because you have to find like pinpoint the areas of friction and then ask, how can I create a system or process around this? And honestly, what I have found, instead of hiring a bunch of people, I have looked to a lot of applications that can do some of that work. Like, you know, back in the day, it was Calendly. Like, I just got to have a scheduling system to get everything set up. So that was one of the first things that I did. And then my transcriptions, I outsourced that to Otter. And, you know, Otter does all of my transcriptions. So see where you can automate pieces of your workflow, no matter what kind of content that you're creating. And then ask yourself, what are the pieces that no one else can do? And for me, that was creating the podcast, actually being on video, right? The behind the scenes, that's a different story, but being on video for YouTube or for social or whatever, like those things, I can't outsource to anybody else. But then I like just sat down and wrote everything that I do in a week's time or in a month's time. And it's kind of hard because you're just like, it happens on autopilot. So you don't think about all the things that you do. Y'all, I don't know what's happening. This cat is freaking out. Y'all can see that. The shutter, like he's in the window. He's trying to get in the window. The shutter's going up and down. I don't even know what's happening. He's trying to attack a bird outside. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, but like just looking at all of your tasks and saying like, what can I actually let go of? Because I'll be very honest. I'm a control freak when it comes to my processes. I'm not the like most digitally organized person, but I'm a control freak when it comes to I want things done a certain way, not in a perfectionist way, but because, and y'all know this too, SEO works a certain way. And whenever you put out information, especially on YouTube or, you know, on Google, it has to be done a certain way. And so instead of outsourcing those important pieces of the puzzle, I would say, how can someone help me with my show notes? And that doesn't mean giving them access to my whole website, because then I'm like, what if something breaks? What if they don't really know what they're doing? That makes me a little uncomfortable. So what I have them do is let's do all of this in a Google document, right? Because they're still helping you. And maybe the last few things you have to do until you get on a better relationship basis is take that information and put it on your website from a Google document, but baby step into those higher level tasks. Because I mean, I got to a point where I just handed over the keys to the kingdom and I was like, here, do everything. And she organized everything like beautifully and things work so much. Like I'm proud to before when she first came in, it was like, hang on, let me throw a bunch of things like in the closet. Like, let me. And she was like, no, it's okay. Just let me see your whole mess. And then she helped me clean it up. So if that is a place, if anybody's listening and you have a digital mess on your hands, that is the first person I would look to hire as someone that knows how to clean up a digital workspace to make it where it's functional and you can actually find things, because now I can do a lot more things just because I know where they are. It's so sad. I feel like I needed to like home edit my life, like in the background of my digital world, but it helps so much. So that would be my first recommendation. Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Cause yeah, we have a hard time. We've hired people and worked with people that really just wound up making things worse, that caused more work.
Yeah.
So we've been through a lot of that with the hiring process.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of time to train them to get to your level. You know, by the time they learn what they need to learn, it's like, I should have done that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of, we have a few online courses and we have, you know, certain things that funnels and things that are very sensitive and that they need to be connected the right way.
Yeah,
and so that's why we have to do it ourselves, definitely. Mm-hmm.
But I think you hit on something that's really good, which is just, you kind of have to know what you need help with too.
Yes.
Because when we first started, we're just like, help us, but we didn't even know what we needed help.
When in fact, what we needed was a babysitter.
That's really the best person we ever hired was a babysitter.
Was a babysitter, we were both able to work together and to do a lot of things, get
and
more accomplished.
I think the talent that's really easy to hire and also affordable is podcast editors or video editors.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was really hard for me to give the
The
keys over to that, because I'm really into editing video and I love editing podcasts, but it takes so many hours, you know, three hours at least on a podcast episode sometimes, or 6 to 8 hours on a
video.
Mm-hmm. And so that's just something that we've outsourced now. And it's still kind of hard. I get sad about it, but because I love doing that work, but it just frees up all that time to do more stuff. Mm. So,
well, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because I'm kind of in the same boat where I had sat down and I was like, what can I outsource? And one of the first things that I did was we hired a cleaning service for our house, because previously I was, you know, I was kind of a stay-at-home mom doing a lot of these things part-time. And I mean, even it's only, I guess, as of us recording this, we're just now getting into like the first few weeks of my youngest son going to kindergarten. So I'm just now stepping into doing this full-time. And for a long time, I was like, no, I can't do that. Like I need to hire somebody else to do this. I was so quick to say, I need to hire someone in my business. But then even when I was done with my business, I was like, there's this, y'all are gross. Like, y'all are disgusting. Like, this house is nasty. And it all like lands on me. Like, what's happening here? Uh-huh. And so that's what I did as well. I was like, this is a gift to myself. Instead of mm-hmm. focusing, like, I would rather spend a little bit more time in the business and outsource other places in our mm-hmm. lives to, I outsource like shopping. Like, I do the curbside pickup at our local grocery store. Like, mm-hmm. so doing little things like that, that can mm-hmm. help you. You think it's just the personal and then the business side, but there's so much overlap when you sit down and really look at, like, and I've heard this by many people who are like productivity, time management experts. It's like, you do a log, like do a diary log of what you do over a week's time, mm-hmm. every single thing. And it's so tedious and it's the most ridiculous thing that you'll ever do. But at the end of the week, you'll have everything and you'll say, oh, I can outsource this, or I can stop doing mm-hmm. this, or I can mm-hmm. like, this is not that important. And I can wait and do that at the end of the month or whatever it is. But, just those baby steps to get started. And mm-hmm. I think that it's so important that, you know, especially with y'all working as a team, that you sit down together and say, how can we do, like, what's the vision? What's the thing that would mm-hmm. like really take us to the next level? Because y'all are the only ones that will be able to do those things mm-hmm. and then say, where can we get some more help? And then when it comes to finding quality help, that really is a challenge. Like, I'll agree with you. Like, that's probably the hardest thing. But I think waiting for that right person, instead of training mm-hmm. a bad person and you're just like, I hope that this gets better. I think it's just easier to like cut bait and say, nope, we're going to keep mm-hmm. looking, look for somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And even if you have to go at a slower pace or
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea.
That's really good advice. Yeah. And that's where we're at too, is it's sort of this reinvention place, sort of a new season for us to look at now, where do we want to go next? You know? Mm-hmm. So
our studio is going to be done soon, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Yeah. We kind of have a new studio and a new plate, new beginnings. Now we went from Utah now to North Carolina. So mm-hmm. we're really excited about all these changes. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Fun. We'll be watching on the YouTube channel to see, are y'all going to share like a behind the scenes of like,
we're thinking about,
We're doing kind of the, every now and then we drop like a vlog style video. So, where you can see, all the, but they're already, it's there because like we're shooting videos in hotel rooms and we're like,
Something that we made a commitment, very early this year because, we decided that we wanted to list our house and to uproot our family from Utah and move to another state. So we knew that this year was going to come with a different set of challenges for us as a company
and
as a family too. So we just sat down and we made the commitment that no matter what, you know, even if we don't show up on social media or even if we slack a little bit on the podcast, that our YouTube channel was something that we were going to honor that we were going to post videos every Sunday no matter what. And I think we've done it. We don't know about this week though.
Hopefully there's one this week that shows up there,
but so far so good.
I think that's just, you know, that's it, is continuing to show up for our audience mm-hmm. and at least so that people know we're still here, even though we're in this transitional place. And
that's
important. But
And that it's perfectly okay. Don't get discouraged. Don't get sad. Don't get desperate, because right now you're in a situation that you have to reassess and there are other things that are taking priority. Take this time to refresh. Take this time to write down your, you know, new ideas for your podcast or for your YouTube channel if you have one.
Uh-huh.
And just embrace what's going on in your life right now.
And you are.
Yeah. Show up as you are. Don't ghost your audience. Mm-hmm. Keep them informed of what's going on with your life, with what's happening. And then you just plan a big comeback. Uh-huh. And that we're all humans. Things happened. Mm-hmm. We have lives, we have kids, we get sick, we move. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you just gave somebody listening a big gift in like just showing up as they are, like sharing your humanity and like just keep going, just keep showing up, whatever you do, just keep showing up, because there's going to be someone in your audience, like people listening, there's going to be someone in your audience that's going to appreciate you showing up, just as we've all showed up here today with cats and, you know, like stuff banging in the background. Like, this is real life. And that's what this is all about, is sharing the journey of everything that you're going through. So this has been so much fun, Veronica and Steve, but I have a few more rapid fire questions that we ask all of our guests. So are you up for those?
Yes.
Yeah. So with the rapid fire, should we do like every other one, so they're super rapid, or do you want to just do them at the same time, or
at the same time?
Okay. Okay.
These will be really good. Okay. Yeah. So I only have three, so it's not really like a ton of them. So the first one is, what piece of advice would you give to a brand new podcaster?
Start.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Just get going. Don't wait until you get the best gear, the best microphone. Just start on your phone.
Yeah, just start.
Just start. And yeah.
Perfect. Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now. Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yes. Yeah. Doesn't have to be perfect.
Yes. The next one is a two-part question. Okay. So it's number one, what's the dream podcast you would love to be on? Number two, who is the dream podcast guest you would love to interview?
You go.
Ooh, I was going to say I'd like to be in Crime Junkie, but I would have to be dead or murder or something like that. Oh, no. No, I think I would like to be interviewed at Kathy Heller's podcast. I know that she interviews people in her community that has had tremendous success and that because of her. So I would like to be in her podcast and be like, look at what you've done. Mm-hmm. Look at where I am right now. And it's because, you know, you planted the seed. And I forgot the second question.
Who would you like to interview?
Oh. You go.
I don't know. That's such a hard question. I don't know, because I don't know if it would be somebody in the podcast world, or it would probably be somebody more in the like the music world or something. I don't even know. I would love to interview Jack Reisdayer from the Darknet Diaries podcast, and to have something to do with that podcast, to like just get to be behind the scenes and see his work process. Cause I'm a big fan of what he
does. And then for me, I am a big Peloton fan.
Oh
yeah. And one of the Peloton instructors, her name is Robin, Robin Arson. Robin, if you're listening to this, I would like to interview you.
Because she is incredible, and I'm just like, her after having little baby Athena,
I know,
like,
right?
Wait, what's happening?
Right? It's like, she's, I get amazing goosebumps. She is so amazing.
We're gonna link to Robin's Instagram account in the show notes as well, because she's phenomenal. Okay, the last question is, do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
Yes. Well, yes.
I used to,
but now, yeah, that's what I would, I would say yes, but then it's like, no.
But now I'm finding fun and I'm taking ownership of my mess and I'm letting go.
Yeah. Like, pardon me, but this, interview, for example, like normally the camera not being right and us being too close and the background being all weird and the lighting's not right on us at all. Even if you're not having any intentions on putting this anywhere for anyone to see what we look like, that would just not be, I'd be like, we have to cancel, you know, but now I just have to go with things, you know, like we just have to show up as we are and do it.
Yeah. And then the thing that, we all need to think about is that we may missing out on opportunities because we need to have everything perfect. You know, the lighting has to be perfect, and we would have missed on this like really cool conversation, this really cool interview, just because the lighting is imperfect or whatever. We're here and you know, in this little room, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you show up and then you meet people and you just, you know, have conversations and have fun.
Yeah, but I do like being a perfectionist. It gives me joy to just be so nitpicky with things. It's like one of my great happiest times.
Well, I can tell you from my personal perspective and many guests on the show, the title that we prefer is Recovering Perfectionist.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. That's me. I'm like, I'm a recovering perfectionist. Uh-huh. Like, mm-hmm. hand over my heart. Yes, so much. So this has been so much fun. Thank y'all for hanging out with us today. Where's the best place for everybody to connect with you and learn more about what you do?
You can find us on YouTube at Pod Sound School. Uh-huh.
And then Veronica hangs out on Instagram mm-hmm. at Pod Sound School. And I'm the Twitter guy at Pod Sound School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, come and say hi.
Yeah, whichever one you like more, you can come bug us on.
Me, of course.
Yeah, it's usually Veronica. But if you're an audio nerd, please, like, I don't have enough audio nerd friends. everybody likes Veronica better, but that's all right. I understand.
Well, we're going to link to all of those in the show notes. You'll be able to learn more about Veronica and Steve and all the incredible things that they're doing at Pod Sound School. Thank you all so much for being on the show today. This was so much fun. We'll have to do more things like this.
Yeah, Thank you, Crystal. Thank you so much. It's amazing.
You know what's funny? Because I've had those same rapid fire questions since the beginning of time, it's what it feels like. But since the beginning of the podcast, like, I've always asked the same rapid fire questions. And I always like, hey, you know, what's the dream podcast? Whose show would you want to be on? Who would you want to interview? And can I just say, I want to interview people just like Veronica and Steve forever and ever, because we had so much fun. The conversation was so genuine, and we just had a blast just being ourselves and, you know, talking about true crime podcast and the fact that, like, we're all, you know, like, secretly afraid of, like, somebody coming in, like, to get us in the middle of the night, or like, oh my gosh, like, I am still so just embarrassed of how just scared I get in a bathroom by myself. I know I'm not the only one that pulls back the curtain to make sure the boogeyman is not back there, okay? Like, there's probably a whole generation of people that will do that forever for the rest of their lives. But y'all, okay, this conversation was so good, and I cannot tell you, like, I could go on and on. Like, I felt like such a fangirl talking to Steve and Veronica, and we just had so much fun. Please go to the show notes and check them out. Run to YouTube and watch their videos, because they're so helpful. And I think that they just bring such a fun element to creating their content that it's just a joy to watch what they create. So the show notes for this episode are crystalprofit.com/episode298. So go check them out. Go follow them on Instagram. Just go check out all their resources, because they're so much fun. I cannot wait to collaborate with them again, because, like I said, I just want to interview people just like Veronica and Steve forever and ever, because it was such a blast, and I hope that you enjoyed our conversation. But that's all I have for you today. So if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. Make sure you hit that subscribe, follow button wherever you're listening to this podcast. And I would love it if you would take a screenshot and share it on social media. Tag me, tag Pod Sound School on Instagram, and let us know what you thought about today's episode. But as always, remember, keep it up. We all have to start somewhere.